Brock. Thank you very much for coming. This is Tuesday, October 2nd. It is 2:37, and we are having a city council work session. The topics for discussion are the White House redevelopment project. Are there any public comments at this time? All right, I'll turn it over to Matt Brown.
Thank you, Council President.
Oh, I need to go through the people, don't I? I knew I was forgetting something. Present today, Matt Brower, City Manager, Jay Musley, Councilman, John McLeod, Councilman, Susie Heimbachel, Councilwoman, and Daniel Owen, Councilman.
Thanks for letting us join the party.
Sorry. Mary Sue Rich is absent today, and Mayor Kinkwin is not with us as well. All right, now I will turn it over to City Manager Matt Brower.
Thank you. Today's topic of discussion is the White Chalice Redevelopment Company. What I'd like to do is take a few minutes and kind of review with you the timeline that we've had in place for White Chalice. Once I've completed that, I'm going to invite Mark to talk a little bit about the five options that staff has come up. We've had the option to meet with several council members to review these. And then once Mark has finished reviewing those, what we'll do is invite Jack and Chris to come forward and make a presentation that they have prepared for you and, of course, make their ask. We only have 45 minutes today, and so staff is going to try to be as brief as possible to allow as much time for Jack and Chris to come forward, as well, of course, any other public comment that would like to come forward at that time as well. So cutting right to the chase, on February 17th, 2010, the city issued ITN 10-001, and that was for any qualified individuals to submit a plan in response to that invitation to negotiate. On February 1st, 2011, the city approved an agreement with White Chalice for development of the First and Broadway Sprint Building and what's later been known as DeMille Works. On October 18th, 2011, the city approved an agreement amendment. And on May 8th, 2012, the city manager granted a six-month extension by virtue of a contractual provision which allowed me to provide that extension. Staff has started meeting with White Chalice weekly over the last month and a half, to get ongoing updates. And through those conversations, we've learned that the next deadline of November 1st may not be met. In anticipation of that date not being met, staff then begin identifying alternatives for council's consideration. And you have in front of you those five alternatives. What I'd like to do is invite Mark to provide a very high altitude overview of those alternatives. And then we'll turn some time over to Jack and Chris. Sure.
Thank you very much. The alternatives were developed recognizing the continuing ongoing difficulties in financial markets. Also, the options really are, they're not prioritized or ranked. They're simply listed as they came to staff's mind. And I won't spend a lot of time talking about the potential upside and downside of each. I've tried to define some of those terms. Obviously, different people may feel some have greater upside than the other. There may be some things we've missed. The first option, recognizing that if White Chalice is unable to meet their November 1st deadline, City Council will have the ability to terminate the agreement. And so under that first option, the concept is that City Council would terminate and then re-advertise, soliciting proposals from developers similar to how we have done so in the past. One of the differences that staff has noted here is that perhaps we would put a greater emphasis on developers that have funding in place. And that funding might be in the form of equity that they might apply towards their soft cost, or perhaps they even have a conventional lender in place and are ready to finance a project. The second option, again, is a termination option, whereby the city would put up the property for sale. If City Council so desired, staff would suggest that perhaps you would do so with restrictions and conditions in place. If those restrictions and conditions were not met, then the property could revert to the city. And of course, Jimmy Gooding and I are available to talk a little bit about what those restrictions and conditions might look like if you're so interested. Option three is an option whereby you would extend the agreement, but you might reduce the scope of the project. So for example, perhaps what you would do is allow White Chalice to continue advancing their right and/or their Millworks project, which are the residential components on the Brick City block. And perhaps you would pull away the First and Broadway project for them, from them. You may go out and solicit proposals from interested parties for the First and Broadway project. You might dual track and solicit similar proposals for the Millworks and/or the Wright Building as well, and see what the city was able to receive. Perhaps failing, we went through that process, didn't get any good positive responses, you might elect to restore some of the rights to Wychellus. Option four is to extend the agreement on the basis that Wychellus would bring a hotel project into the downtown. Chris and Jack are here, and they have a gentleman with them that is a representative of a boutique hotelier that they've been working with for probably a year and a half. We've met with them several times. It's a project they've been contemplating and working towards. They're going to provide you a little bit more information on that project. So the basic concept is of providing additional consideration and therefore requesting that extension. The fifth option is a termination option, whereby perhaps City Council decided to postpone the catalytic projects. It's a very difficult financial market. Perhaps City Council says, let's hold on to the former chamber site and the Sprint site, and rather than trying to advance those projects in the current market, what if we were to create new incentive programs to encourage infill projects, filling existing vacancies, and perhaps reuse of space? And so those are the five options as staff have outlined them. There's a number of pieces in each of those options which could be mixed and matched. So they're not necessarily exclusive to one option or the other. Staff's available to answer any of your questions at this time, or we would turn it over to Chris and Jack.
Are there any questions for Mark at this point? Thank you. Would you please state your name and address for the record?
President, Council, Chris Chalice with Wychellus Redevelopment Company, 212 South Beach Street, Daytona Beach. I'm here with my partner, Jack White, who's in the audience, and he can come up and answer any questions if you all have. You don't have to just listen to me. Thank you all for having the time for us today and having this forum. Obviously, we were here several months ago and talked about our status. It has been a long, hard road for us, as it is for a lot of folks out there. And we have not made the progress that we had expected to make. I think that's a mystery. As Matt said, it's very clear that we are not going to complete the permitting in order to commence construction in February, which is the real date. Completing the permitting is not the issue. It's commencing the construction in February, of course, is the real issue. And we regret that. We have done we've exhausted all the options at this point. We've worked very hard in this climate to try and put this together with our local partners from back in Daytona Beach, where we are from, to Newgate Capital Partners out of Winter Park, and putting together the Urban Redevelopment Fund, which I still think is going to be a fantastic opportunity for us with a little bit of a tailwind instead of a headwind. I think that's a great program for us. But Newgate, unfortunately, is not been able to attract any significant amount of capital in order to launch a redevelopment project for us at this time. Quite frankly, the numbers everywhere are bad, and right now when you're facing, I think there's an article not that long ago over here that talked about median home prices at existing sales at about $90,000, and our starting price is almost double that for our units. Unemployment is in the right direction, but still I think close to double digits, or is in double digits. It's been a very difficult sale for us, quite frankly, and it's our obligation to do that, and we have tried very hard to do so. With respect to the First and Broadway project, that was a topic of conversation last time we were here as well. As you know, when Sooner Investment, our original partner, indicated that they did not expect to make did not expect to be able to perform under the current contract, we worked very hard at talking to other potential partners. That was a site that we never envisioned undertaking ourselves. We always expected to have another development partner work with us on that. And we talked with, Sooner, of course, is a national developer. We talked to a pretty significant regional developer that you folks are familiar with. At the end of the day, there was an opportunity that's very interesting. I think it was a good opportunity. They all indicated it was a good opportunity, a difficult time. And so they just elected not to move forward with that project. at that time. Meanwhile, as Matt or Mark indicated a few minutes ago, we have been working with Shine Bloom Hospitality on a couple of our other deals for about 18 months. And they're a boutique hotel development group out of South Florida, Miami Beach area. Met them at a green building conference and had an opportunity to talk about our small market urban redevelopment program, our philosophy and approach in working in communities such as Ocala that have are great little downtowns, have a lot of good energy, a good built environment, and a good opportunity, missing some key components like a boutique hotel. And these guys are the operators of hotels that size in an urban market. And so we have been working for almost 18 months now to try to figure out how to adapt our redevelopment program and their boutique hotel platform into something that might work in Ocala and some other communities. And as a result, we've got we're close to finishing the underwriting on some financing for a package of three boutique hotel projects with White Chalice and Shine Bloom Hospitality, of which the first in Broadway is one. We have talked with staff about that and brought them along over time to inform them on what we're doing. And we are very close to finishing the underwriting on that project, on that package of projects. Let me show you real quick. Just by way of example, and Mark Shine Bloom, by the way, is here with Shine Bloom Hospitality, sitting there with Jack. A few images, they've got several hotel properties in Miami Beach. They're all boutique size hotels, suitable size wise for, you know, in terms of the size of operations, room numbers, and so forth for Ocala. They spent a lot of time with market analysis. The economic study is nearing completion. So these are some of their hotel properties down there, and some interior shots. Obviously, it's Miami Beach, so what the images, you know, what you see there is Art Deco. It's what you would expect to see, but it's also very first class, very well run. Jack and I have had the opportunity to visit the property several times, stay at their properties, and it's a very fantastic organization. We're excited to have an opportunity to partner with them on this. So obviously, if we had an opportunity, as White Chalice has an opportunity to work with them, wouldn't be necessarily Art Deco hotels, of course. That's a product geared towards that marketplace. You know, what we would ask, you know, here we are now to talk about the contract and certainly want to have a dialogue with you all. I think we've been very upfront with city. Anytime you all have asked to see us, we've come over here to speak. We've tried to stay in very close contact with Mr. Brower and Mark Mondell. You know, where we are right now is, you know, we'd like a little bit more time to work on what we have been working on for 2 years now. We've put a lot of time and effort into it. You all have put a lot of time and effort into it as well. You've been fantastic partners for us, and we're proud of our partnership, and we care very much about this community, and we'd like to continue that partnership, recognizing that this is an extremely difficult market to bring new construction forward of any type, much less new construction that is an entirely new product in something of an untested market in terms of new construction in downtown Ocala. We'd request that the City Council, you know, consider option three, referencing the matrix that that Mark went through a few minutes ago. We'd like to discuss with you all some variant of option three, where we have an opportunity to continue to work on the Brick City block. We know we will be successful. We have been successful. We are still doing projects right now. We bought another office building earlier this year in Daytona Beach, another office building. And, you know, we have the wherewithal to move forward if we can get some traction with the market. And we think we will, hopefully, after starting the next year. So we'd like to consider option three with you all for a period of time. You know, I'd like to start the discussions or talk about 18 months, allow enough time for the market to start to show some positive trends, build a little bit of market confidence, and then allow us the time to then complete the financing package and submit our building plans. That would be 18 months from the November, I think it's a November 1 date. We'd also like to ask the council to consider giving us about 75 days more is all we need, about a final 75 days on the First and Broadway site. specifically geared towards completing our financing for the hotel project. We're very close, as I said, very close to finishing underwriting on that. And the Shine Bloom Hospitality is here with us. They can answer any questions, but I would say that 75 days is the outside date by which we should complete. We should have a proof of funds by that time. And if we can't provide a proof of funds for that, then we would certainly willingly relinquish that site because for the reasons stated before. So that's kind of my presentation to Chief, if you will. Again, myself and Jack, my partner, and Mark Scheinblum, we're here to answer any questions. Hopefully we can have a conversation about these issues.
Okay. Any questions? Discussion?
Thanks.
So, well, I have something.
Okay.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, then on the First and Broadway project, you're requesting 75 days extension to get your financing and that sort of finalized. And if you don't complete it in 75 days, then you are willingly relinquishing that property and that part of the project.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. You know, again, we had always envisioned that we'd have a partner involved with that project, and
right.
We know that that site has some particular sensitivity that we experienced last spring, and so. But we think a boutique hotel project is a fantastic opportunity, and we think this group can deliver it with us. And if we can provide a proof of funds in that period of time, you know, we think it'd be a great opportunity for the city and you know, for all parties to pursue that. We certainly would need to amend the contract, I expect, in a few ways. Jimmy's over there flipping pages, so he's probably thinking the same thing. So we would need to work on that, but yes, ma'am, 75 days.
Okay, so, and then the second part of that is that the Millworks project and the Wright building, is your request that we extend that for 18 months?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, from the November date. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was clear about
sure.
your request.
Yeah, I appreciate
was.
It. Clarification, sure.
I'll open it up for comments, questions.
All right, I guess a question of Matt. Okay. What are the terms and conditions of the takedowns on the various parcels? In other words, do they get the chamber site? What is the cost to them for the chamber site if they were to do that first, if any?
Mark, you have a greater familiarity with that contract than I.
Make sure I understand the question. In terms of the terms of the takedown of property that exists in the agreement to date, Jimmy, please add if I'm not getting this correct. They have to provide, there's a number of steps that they have to go through in order to be able to get the property from the city. They have to achieve permit approval. They have to have their financing commitment in place, so on and so forth. They also have to post adequate assurance, which is essentially the value of the land and the fees in the project in order for that phase of the project to go forward. Is that what you're getting at, Mr. Musley?
Yeah, but basically we're giving them the chamber site. Is that correct?
At the end of the day, yes. That's the result, yes, as it stands in the agreement to now.
The city does have, I believe, the potential to recover something at the end of that, some sort of profit share.
Yes, there's a mechanism.
If the project makes money, but that's at the tail end.
Yes, anything over 20% return, the city and the developer would equally share in those profits, and there's a method established in the agreement by which those would be determined.
I have one other question for you, if you don't mind. Could you tell me what, like, economic events that you feel are going to happen in the next 18 months that are going to enable this project to go forward?
Oh, we've got a significant event in 30 days, I would expect. One way or the other, whatever your preference is on it, it's a significant event in 30 days. And we have spent, particularly in the last couple months as we've gotten closer to the election, folks have said, let's wait and see what happens. Everybody wants to understand which direction the federal government is going to start moving. And I think that's been a universal response. And I certainly hope we can't stay here forever. Eventually, we've all got to get back to work. And so that's the first event I would indicate. And once we get past that, I would expect we're seeing positive trends in several different sectors, both the local and the national level. I'm hopeful that those trends will continue on into next year and continue to build market confidence. I'd also like some more time to talk to the local market. You know, we've always, from the beginning, it would indicate that we had hoped to find some folks here locally. You know, we haven't been successful at that. I don't know that perhaps is our approach, but we'd like an opportunity to continue to talk to the local community about being part of the project in some way or another, help better validate the marketplace for us and our outside investors as well. Again, maybe that was our approach. I don't know, but I'd like more time to talk with folks about that.
Okay. Did you have more questions? I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
No, you're fine.
Okay. Mr. McLeod, did you have anything?
I don't have any questions.
You have comments?
Yeah.
All right, great.
In just a minute. I do have some comments. First of all, I favor basically option one, and I'd like to take a step back and let's relook at this thing from the beginning. I'm not opposed to the idea of a hotel down on the old chamber site. I'm not opposed to that at all. As a matter of fact, I think that'd be a wonderful place for one. But as for extensions, waiting on presidential elections, waiting 18 months, I'm not so sure I'm ready to give that at this point. I'd rather see a step back and take a look at this thing again from a term that Matt uses, a high altitude approach. And things have changed in the last few years. And you're right, the environment's not great for getting funding and loans and things of that nature for these type of projects. But from my standpoint, that's what I'd like to see us do.
Mr.
Mosley.
I would probably be looking to option one or even option five. The city spent a lot of money and a lot of time and effort here improving downtown Ocala with a lot of various projects. There now, a lot of them are coming to fruition. I think Jack and Chris have just run into this financing market, part of which I participate in as a banker. It's just not very good right now. I'll admit that. And I think maybe to terminate and postpone and then maybe re-advertise, that might be the best thing for us. I'd hate to see us give up our best site downtown, which I think is the chamber site, and not have anything happen to get some retail people living down there on the Millworks and Sprint building site.
Mr. Owen.
One and five almost kind of seem like the same thing a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
I guess my question for both of y'all would be, Jay, you were talking about terminate agreement and then re-advertise. Which portions, the whole thing, the chamber site, Sprint site, Millworks, all of that, or picking certain pieces out? And I mean, that's, and then you're kind of, and then you're saying, let's just terminate and kind of cruise, which we do have this building sitting there that, you know, if you terminate and if the idea of a boutique hotel is there or whatever, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a boutique hotel guy, but there sits a building. And so the pictures we just saw from, South Beach or wherever that was, those were old, buildings that were, redone to accommodate that. And there sits one. So I don't know if that market is there or that opportunity is there. It kind of goes to what you're talking about, John, of terminate and then re-advertise, and maybe we, you start with just the Sprint site. In the last 4 or 5 years, I think the city has, we've added a tremendous amount of value in the downtown. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it, we've got some successes. Matt and I have talked a lot about it. Power plant, Citizen Circle's open, IHMC's up and running, Ansiphone's getting ready to come in. I think they just closed, Matt, a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
They're starting permitting process.
Yes.
Sitel, it's not like there's nothing completely going on. I mean, there's some little wins and some bright spots that are going through there. And so the momentum, as we say, who knows what's going to happen. But, the chamber site is a key piece that is only going to get better in time for us, I think. And so I don't know if there's some, we talked, Mark said there's the ability for hybrids, and I'm looking at one and five, if there's some sort of hybrid that, I don't know, just the Sprint site is just one site where we talk about. So, you know, let's pull back here for a little bit and start focusing on one area. Is it, you know, is it, do we sell it, stick a sale sign in it? Do we do the incentives? Do who knows what? Come take it, get the ideas. I think they'll be out there, as we say, as it starts to turn, you know, who knows what's down the road. And it's just been unfortunate, but the city has, we have committed a lot of dollars. Ansiphone has committed a lot of, you know, there was a closing, they spent some money. There is money that is flowing in and around the downtown area. And we see, you see the successes of it, and you see what little bit of momentum that we do got. So I just, you know, that would be my question of, is there some sort of, if you terminate, what is the next step? You're saying terminate, let's just kind of.
I say we terminate.
Postpone.
Postpone and look at it, and you know, maybe the, I think this, we got to do something with the Sprint building. You just, and you can't allow the development of the chamber site, I don't think, and still have that Sprint building there. We need to do something with it. If it needs to come down, it needs to come down. But I think it's a good building that could be rehabbed.
Yeah, and we can, you know, we have the opportunity, I think, to set even in this economy, even in this, as bad as it is. We have the opportunity to make downtown look like what we want it to look like. Mm-hmm. If we want $1 million condos right there, and we think that's not what we're going to, you know, well, that'll never happen. I tell you, it won't take but one. And you, whatever you build there, you're setting the market. All right, whatever you put there, whatever you put on the chamber, whatever you set there, you're going to start setting the market, regardless of what it is. And what is it that we want to? What is it that we want to be? And as it gets longer and longer, things get watered down, and that kind of scares me a little bit. Just to, all of a sudden, let's just not have something for the sake of having something, and then we feel good about, we don't have empty dirt sitting there, now we've got something. So I just, you know, time's on our side. It's not going anywhere, and who knows, you know, who knows what moves forward from here. But, you know, it's... I one in five or somehow to me seem they can be a little bit of a put together a little bit somehow some way. Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the one in five. There's one other aspect too, from my point of view, is the number one site for the parking garage was that Bank of America site. Still caught in litigation, still seems to be a problem. We can't get through to them. But yet we own the property across the street where there is presently a parking lot. From my point of view, I'd still like to explore that as a possible site as a parking garage and further parking, or permanent parking. Doesn't have to be a parking garage necessarily. And, because in the end, that's going to be an issue. And if you build everything and forget to build the parking, then it's all doomed to failure.
In the end, let's hope we have the issue of needing the parking.
I would love to have a parking problem downtown.
We got a parking problem. We got to build a garage. Where are we going to put it?
I drove to lunch today right by that parking lot, and there wasn't a single car in it. So.
There's not a day that you can go downtown that you can't park.
But, and I agree with you, and, you know, the average day, there is not a problem finding a parking spot. But when you do have events and you do have Friday evenings, there is a parking issue. And people are looking for parking, a place to go. And, you know, how do you define where do you need your parking? Do you define it when no one's there, or do you define it when everyone's there?
Well, yeah, I understand, but I want to be careful that we don't build a parking garage for events. I mean, they have an event every six Saturdays in the fall up in Gainesville. They have a little event. It's called Gator Game. They don't have parking garages. People just park every damn where. It doesn't stop the events. People still show up.
They do have a parking garage. For
the select few of y'all who get in the two there, the rest of us just park down on the side of the road and eat peanuts, drink beer, and walk into the stadium. So, I mean, it doesn't stop the event. So we're not going to stop the events by not having a parking garage.
And it doesn't have to be a parking garage. I'm just, you know, I like the fact that it is, although I'd love to see it landscape better, but...
Come on,
well, man. We got setbacks.
But it doesn't have to be a parking garage per se. But I do like the idea that we have that parking there. That you know, and that services Citizen Circle. The Lanier Park, as well as downtown. And it's something else to look at. But I agree with you, some kind of combination of 1 and 5 is probably the way to go.
You know, Jay's right about the sprint build. Something's got to happen. Or, I mean, things do. We've learned it with the city auditorium.
Right.
When things sit still and they sit stagnant, the sun beats on it and stuff starts happening. It gets to a point to where
you can't
fix it. And then all of a sudden, you know, the sprint site's going in the dumpster and, oh my God, won't you do something with the building? Well, I mean, then we end up going through 5 years of workshops like we're doing on the auditorium. And so something's got to happen.
Mr. Gooding.
Ma'am.
Could you please answer the question about option number 2, restrictions and conditions, what types of restrictions and conditions might be?
What Mr. Mondale had in mind then, and I've had some of it changed, is that the first step would be for city to terminate this contract, and then instead of essentially giving the property away, the proposal would be to sell the property. But because the city presumably does not want to sell it for any use, the city would want to impose either restrictions or conditions that would ensure that the project is developed the way that the city wants it to. Originally, that sentence just read restrictions and, the conditions failing which the property reverts to city. And I explained to Mark that may be difficult for anybody to buy the property with that because they couldn't get financing with a reverter in it. So you may want to instead impose restrictions on it. For example, this property may only be used to develop a, if it's residential over here, a multi-story residential facility with no less than whatever unit, something like that. And presumably that would then run with title of the property. Again, to the extent that you cloud the title of the property, you make it more difficult for the developer to get financing for it. Depending on what those restrictions or conditions are, I think it could be done. And in essence, that's the way we've sold it twice. I mean, if these guys were going to finance it, it was subject to restrictions on what they could do with it. And so it would be you'd sell it, but you wouldn't, the buyer could not do anything that it wanted to with the property.
Right.
Now, if y'all don't care, if you just want to get rid of the land, then obviously you can sell it without any restrictions or conditions. But if you want to require redevelopment, or development in a manner that you desire, then it has to be with some restrictions.
So if we did that, we had it for sale with these restrictions or conditions, and we put specific units, and we wanted this and that and whatever, would that not be essentially the same as invitation to negotiate that is continuously ongoing? I mean, if it's on sale, these are the things we want to see there. These are the things we want to buy. If you've got an offer come to us.
It'll be a little different. Yeah, it would be the same as if you continuously did that, but presumably if it worked, you wouldn't continue to do that anymore.
We wouldn't continue to do it, but
right.
We would do it until someone showed up who could get the financing and could meet the conditions.
Yes, ma'am, but initially, if all you're going to do is sell it, unless there is some requirement that the development occur within a particular time period, you have no assurance that something's going to happen.
Could that be one of the conditions that it happened within a time?
It could, and then it would then convert. In essence, I guess it would be a sale with a right of repurchase. That if you're going to buy this property for $1 million, but if you don't build anything on it in 2 years, you can deed it back to us, and we'll give you your $1 million back. I guess you could do it that way. You can do some combination of all of that. And you could advertise it for sale under an RFP. You could say, we want you to develop this, but we want you to pay for it instead of us give it to you. Mm-hmm. And it would be with the following requirements, which are either conditions or restrictions. And you would have your development scheme, your deadline for construction, et cetera.
Well, I was just going to say, and I think we all agree, and not that any of us are experts, but residential is going to be a key component to making downtown have any type of sustainability. I mean, we saw when we went on our trip to you know, catering, dinner, and all that is just such a huge, huge portion of people that not only shop and eat and work in the downtown and all these areas, they live there also. And that's, you know, again, I don't know. You just go, again, I go back to that Sprint site and that building. What kind of potentials are there that we start as the terminate and then postpone or the re-advertise and just start with, we do have a structure. You know, I mean,
right.
There is a building sitting there, and it, as far as we know, it's still halfway decent, and you can get in there and maybe make it. And who knows what somebody will come down with. And but again, go into setting that market and setting what you want there, it's going to be, I don't think anybody will not agree that this piece of property right here at some point is, if residential, starts to have a huge impact on the downtown. And that just, I don't know if you're, you know, wanting to set those requirements that whoever comes in and buys
this,
you
have to. I think it kind of, we can make it as open or closed as we want to, I think. I don't know. I just wanted to understand what that meant and give it, you know, mullet.
The magic to that idea was you sell a property instead of give it away, and yet you have some control to make sure that it's actually developed instead of just lies fallow.
Yeah.
The flip side is you just never know.
Right.
And the power plant was a power plant, which is then was an engineering building, then was
right.
Now is an incubator, and the library was a library that's now a right. think tank, and Maslow Insurance was a car parts, which was insurance. Now it's a call center, and
right.
Sitel was a, what was it, Piggly Wiggly, and whatever
Winn-Dixie.
The heck it was.
Winn-Dixie.
And now it's
right. Exactly. So you just don't know.
So who knows? So you can sit there and say it shall be this. Is you don't know.
Right.
You don't know.
Right. Which is my whole.
But the one thing we do know.
That's
we
my
have
dilemma
it.
With the residential. I mean, you know, or if we say it has to be residential, then maybe we're not.
That goes to the terminate to re-advertise because you don't know what opportunities are with that building there that who
right.
knows what it could be turned into. Maybe another call center comes. I don't know. You know, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, we could sell it with no restrictions.
But imagine that, the old phone company being a call center.
Imagine that.
No, I just, and the, you know, I don't know. We could do a combination, which is I'm open to that. I'm not set on any one thing. I just would share with y'all when I first got on council was when we went out to RFP for this, and we were looking for someone to do something. And I asked the former city manager, why didn't we just sell it? Why don't we just put a for sale sign in it and sell it? And he said, well, if we do that, it's going to just sit there empty for the next 5 years, and we need to get some things going downtown. But here we are, you know, almost 5 years later, and it's been sitting there empty. And we have gotten some things going downtown.
It's made a transformation. It's event parking.
Oh,
now.
It's event parking now. But I guess my point is, those two, I mean, we have made a lot of momentum downtown without having something in those two spots. We've made a lot of forward progress, I think.
We've also created value for those two spots.
For those two spots. They're a lot more valuable today than they were 4 years ago. Absolutely. I completely agree with that. So, yeah. What direction do you need from us today?
Staff is looking for direction on A, whether you need more time to deliberate, want another work meeting, or B, if there's consensus, and want to give staff their marching orders at this time.
Is there
Excuse
a consensus?
They are in a workshop.
What consensus, I guess, is the key word here then, in terms of?
Informal consensus.
Exactly.
Well, y'all can't vote.
I understand we can't vote. I mean, I would recommend you move forward with option 5. You terminate it. Give staff enough time to come back, make some recommendations to how we want to re-advertise the property. Maybe, like we said, maybe we don't want to re-advertise the Sprint building at first, leave the other two properties off the market. Doesn't mean they're not for sale or somebody can't bring us a proposal. but maybe we concentrate our efforts on the Sprint building first, see how that goes.
So we all, do we all sort of agree to terminate? We all agree to terminate, and then we haven't reached a consensus as to how we move forward?
I like Jay's proposal.
Okay.
Just so you know, you can't really terminate yet. This differs from the last one y'all were involved in a little bit. On this one, these are requirements, not conditions. You would have to give notice of default and provide them with an opportunity to cure, unless they're willing just to sign a termination agreement. But so at some public, get some real council meeting, you probably need to put an agenda item on there directing staff if the the requirement is not met to issue a notice of default or to negotiate with the developer concerning a termination agreement. And then it would be, if the default is not cured, then it would be a termination notice.
Okay. Mr. McLeod.
One brief thing. I haven't had as many one-on-one conversations with the White-Childs group, but according to staff, they've been very forthcoming and easy to work with, and they've told us where they were all along, and that's to be appreciated. And, you know, this doesn't stop us from doing something in the future. It's just our way of saying, hey, we're going to take a step back and relook at this thing. Just wanted to commend them for being forthcoming.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Go ahead.
No, I was saying, ma'am, public comment. But.
Any public comments? Well, we're adjourned.
We're adjourned into our other one?
Yeah.
And we're coming back for this.